The scripture lesson today is taken from the 20th chapter of John. We're dealing with the overcoming of grief. And what more appropriate theme could we have for this congregation? For over the last 10 or 11 months, we have seen 8 of our number leave this world and go to be with the Lord. And so we read of the secret to overcoming grief from the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Hear now the reading of God's word and consider it well. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that would be John, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb, so they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener or the caretaker, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher, by the way, that name was also used by some of the Jews to talk about God. They referred to God as the Rabboni. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me or cease clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. May God bless his word and bring us the true comfort that only his word can supply. Let's look to him now, and as you pray for me that I will speak the word clearly, I will pray for you that you will hear it openly. Lord, we come to your word with humility and yet with eager anticipation, for you have spoken and you have recorded all of your words in your book, the Bible. So as we come to this portion of the Bible, your book, we pray that the Holy Spirit will guide our speaking and our thinking and our responding to your word, that Christ may be honored and that your people may find what she found that day long ago, the living Savior who comforts his people. And we pray in his name. Amen. The story of Mary from Magdala meeting with the risen Christ is one of the most touching stories in the entire Bible. It's also one of the most instructive stories. because this tells us how to deal with the universal problem of grief. Is there a more needful or important story for this congregation to hear than this? I don't know what it would possibly be, but to fully understand God's answer to our grieving, then we must begin with the story of Mary from the little village of Magdala before we find her weeping in the cemetery on that particular Sunday morning, because she had a story to tell. And the story is intriguing, and it's a story that invites our consideration. Who was this woman? What was her experience with Christ before that morning long ago? What was her role, along with another small group of women, in the ministry of Jesus? And finally, what can we learn about dealing with our grief from Mary's encounter with the risen Lord, and how the crushing grief had left her almost hopelessly bound by grief, as it sometimes leaves us? But she overcame the grief, or rather Christ overcame it for her. Let's explore that a little bit more. There is very little information actually given about Mary of Magdala. We call her Mary Magdalene because she came from that village. But we know that she came from Magdala on the eastern shore of Lake Galilee. And it was a very prosperous city. And we find that she too had been very prosperous in her work or in her inheritance. Whether she was a single woman or a widow, we're not sure about that. But she was a woman of some means, maybe some modest wealth, because she contributed to the ministry of Jesus and his disciples as long as it lasted. And she was the head of a group of women disciples who followed Jesus around to hear his words and to grow in their understanding and also witness his miracles. And these women were apparently prominent, and all of them are women of some means. They believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and they were willing to forsake their homes. They were willing to forsake their businesses and to follow him and to supply the needs as far as food and shelter and clothing were concerned. Now, early in his ministry, Jesus had healed Mary from a number of illnesses. I know that some people who are eager to find something wrong with another person's character will say, well, Jesus cast out 7 demons out of Mary. She must have been a wicked woman. Well, you read the story of Jesus healing people, and you almost invariably read that he cast out the demons that were causing the illness. But there is no grounds at all for believing anything about Mary but that she was a virtuous woman who found the Lord and who was healed by Christ. And she kept in good faith and used her healing for the glory of God and for the expansion of the gospel. But there was grief waiting for Mary that she never dreamed of. As the time drew near, after almost 3 years of ministry for our Lord's suffering and death, she, along with the other women from Galilee, that is Mary, the mother of James, and Clopas, and some of the other women, Joanna, and these were all prominent women, and they had followed Jesus into Jerusalem from Galilee, and were probably in that crowd who welcomed him into the city on Palm Sunday, as we call it, shouting out his praises and hailing him as God's Messiah. And Mary was there joining those anthems of praise. But she also noted with growing concern the hostility of the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jewish people toward Jesus. And she was aware that they were hateful. She was aware that they wanted to kill him and do away with him if they possibly could. So she learned of his arrest and heard of the trial by the Sanhedrin. And that led to the trial in front of the Romans, and it was all early in the morning, and it happened so quickly by the time Mary and the other women got there. They were leading Jesus away to execute him. And I think Mary, who had been healed by Jesus from her invalidism, must have felt every pain when she looked at Jesus and saw his lacerated back and his bruised face and the crown of thorns that was on his head, and certainly the weight of the cross in his weakened condition had caused him to collapse. They had to draft another person in to carry his cross to the scene of execution. And as they went along, the women, certainly the crowds, that there seemed to have been more women than men, and there seems to be that pattern that continues to this day. But they were weeping and lamenting because they knew that Jesus was being taken outside the city wall to be executed. But Jesus spoke to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." And then he explained the judgment that would fall upon Jerusalem. But Mary did weep for him and for his poor mother Mary, because she saw the Apostle John supporting Mary, the mother of Jesus, and taking her along to the place where she would have to watch her son die. She saw this and wept for not only for Jesus, but for the other Mary. And we're told that Mary Magdalene and the other women watched from afar when they affixed Jesus to the cross and lifted him up to die. But when John, the apostle, was commissioned by Christ to take care of his mother, John led her away. And then, according to the full picture of the gospel, Mary Magdalene took her place at the foot of the cross and was there when Jesus breathed his last. She heard his words of grief. She heard his words of pain, but she also heard his words of victory. And then after he had been taken down from the cross, they buried him in Joseph's tomb. And Mary marked it well that she wanted to return after the Sabbath was over and tenderly prepare his body for permanent interment, because they were only Joseph and of Arimathea and Nicodemus were only able to quickly prepare his body, not for permanent interment, but for temporary interment, not knowing where he would be buried. And yet, because the Sabbath was approaching, they had to do it quickly. But Mary marked the place of the tomb, and she and the other women planned to bring the spices and the ointments necessary to really primitively embalm his body as soon as the Sabbath was over. She saw them take him down from the cross. She saw his poor, mangled body be wrapped in linen and laid in a tomb. And with his death, all of her hopes, all of her faith, all of her joy, and all of her expectations of what it would mean because he was the Messiah, all of that died with the death of Jesus in the heart of Mary Magdalene. But after the Sabbath over, she and the other women would come and prepare his body for permanent burial. And then she would go back to Magdala, maybe take up her business again, and live out her few remaining years in joyless, hopeless grief. Mary found, no doubt, her other friends from Galilee, the other women, and with them she went into deep grieving and spent the next 24 hours thereabouts weeping with them, lamenting the fact that Jesus was not the Messiah after all. He was taken away. Her life, her joy, was past history. as far as she was concerned. But then things began to happen to resolve the great dilemma of faith in God and yet the realization that we must all die and deal with death and grief. So along with Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women, Mary Magdalene came to the sepulchre bringing spices with which they would prepare the body of Jesus for burial, and that was early on Sunday morning. But they found the stone had been rolled away. And looking into the tomb, they realized the body of Jesus was gone. Of all the desecration, of all the horror that she ever dreamed. And she ran and found Peter and John, who were not far away, and told them, "Someone has taken away the body of Jesus, and we don't know where they have laid his body." These two men ran quickly to the tomb and found it just as Mary had told them, but not knowing what to make of it. So they just left and went home. But there was Mary. Poor Mary, left alone, apparently the other women had left too, with her grief utterly devastated. And once more she made herself look into the tomb. Is he really gone? But she saw two dazzling bright angels who spoke to her, and they said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen just as he told you he would." And when they pressed the issue, "Why are you so sad? Why are you weeping?" And she answered, "Because they took away even his body, and I won't be able to anoint him with these spices that I brought, and I will know there will never be a closure for me and never be comfort." There's no more heart-searching, heart-clutching scene in all of the Bible than this. There is Mary. She's lost everything. And she gave up her Lord to death. And she was weeping uncontrollably because she couldn't find his dead body to honor him by preparing his body for burial, at least that. You know, there's just something about a woman weeping with a broken heart that touches the depths of our emotions. As a pastor of many years, in many people and many places, I have seen the grief of women. I've heard them call out the name of their husband who was dying, and I have seen their deeper grief. A wife or a mother sees her man go off to war, and he falls on the field of battle. For him, the pain and the terror is past. But for the wife or for the mother, it's just begun. I have seen that so many times. I still have nightmares about some of the women that I have stood with as they buried their husbands and buried their sons who fell in battle. And of course, their sorrow is not just the loss, but that they couldn't be there for the last moment of their son or their husband and comfort him in his dying pain. I have also witnessed the tears of many women whose husbands have died before them and men whose wives have died before them. And also the more bitter tears of women who have been abandoned by their husbands in favor of another woman or in favor of so-called freedom. And I have also seen the grief of mothers who have given up their children to waywardness and to the era of running away from God and leaving home. But the grief of Mary that early morning long ago seemed to capture all of the heartache and all of the tears of all of the women for all time. Defeat, anguish, despair had crushed her. Not only was her Lord and healer dead, but even his poor mangled body had been stolen away. For her, there could never be closure, never be an end to her tears, ever. No doubt, as she wept there, the kindly caretaker meant well when he came up behind her and gently asked, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And her response was, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." There was a brief pause, and Mary turned all the way around to better see this kind stranger who seemed to be concerned about her. And he only said one word. And in our translations, that word was Mary. But Mary spoke Aramaic, not the formal Greek or the Hebrew. And when she was born, her mother and father named her Miriam. And when Jesus came to her when she was lying invalid and at the point of death and spoke to her and healed her, he used her familiar name that she had grown up with, Miriam. Now. And now he addresses her by that little girl name that she was named long before. And he simply called her name Miriam. And the good shepherd called his sheep by name, and she heard his voice as he predicted in, as recorded in John 20, and she fell at his feet and worshiped him, crying out, "Rabboni, Rabboni," very similar to Thomas saying, "My Lord and my God," because that's what she meant, the Messiah, the Rabboni, God himself. And she held him by the feet. I can almost see her there clutching his feet and saying, "I will never, ever let him go again. He's my Lord and my Savior." And Jesus had to say to her, gently no doubt, "Mary, stop clinging to me. Things are different now. I'm going to ascend to my Father. And the relationship will be different. But you will always have me, for of all the Father has given me, I have lost none." And that includes you, Miriam. And that includes every one of us in this place today. That Christ has promised he will never lose even one person the Father has given him and for whom he died. Mary went to that cemetery determined to find a dead body. What did she find? A living Savior, a living Lord. Death and grief now lost its power to keep her in bondage forever. And she would have comfort for every sorrow that she would face. And this would not be an end of her grief and sorrow, but she would face them with joy and confidence because she had found the living Savior. So if you're trapped by grief, too deep to bear, and you may find what Mary found, what you may find by faith is an end to the power of grief to ruin your life, control you. Oh yes, you will still grieve, and there will be other griefs you'll have to deal with, but not with the life-controlling power that grief once had over you. Because you have found exactly what Mary found in that garden long ago. You have found a living Savior, not the dead body of one who died for you, but one who not only died for you, but was raised again for your justification. And so if you live in fellowship with him and with God's people, and always feel like it's such a mistake when people in grief just kind of isolate themselves and don't take advantage of the fact that God's people are waiting for them and sharing in their grief, and God is waiting to hear you worship him and confess him. So here we have this story, this amazing story of how grief can be conquered. And it's the only way, because it is appointed unto all men once to die, and after this the judgment. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can anticipate seeing Him face to face, and you can anticipate the blessed reunion of those who have gone to be with Him, because there will be that reunion, and there will be recognition, and there will be the joy, because you'll be looking into the face of Jesus, first of all. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But beyond that, in the resurrection, you will see Him who died for you and rose again.